Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our series on the Ten Commandments. And we're in the fifth commandment today. That commandment says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. And then it adds this rider in terms of a reward, specifically for those who are the children of Israel in they're on the way to the promised land. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I wonder if that's a promise that many of us as parents could claim, actually, in terms of longevity, that if we honor our parents, we may be rewarded with long life. I'd like to read to you a selection of scriptures now from the New Testament. And if you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, because there's nothing like the Word of God itself, nothing like the Bible, nothing can ever take the place of pure Scripture. We read this interesting incident in the experience of the boy Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and from verse 41. Luke 2, 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Then if you'll turn back to the Gospel according to Mark, I'd like to read just a few verses in Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, and reading from verse 9 through to verse 13. Jesus is now speaking to the religious leaders of his day, as an adult now, of course. He said to them, these are particularly the religious leaders in Israel, especially the Pharisees and the scribes, and the Sadducees, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." What an indictment that our traditions should supersede the actual meaning of the Word of God and our obedience to the Word of God. And then if you don't mind me reading just a few more passages from the New Testament as we go through to the epistles, that is the letters of the Apostle Paul, and I'd like to read first of all what Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, all that follows after that follows this command, this injunction This imperative, in fact, to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit of God and controlled by Him. And in the course of that exposition, the apostle touches on wives and on husbands. And then when he comes to chapter 6, he's talking about fathers and children. He says in chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Well, there it is with a New Testament interpretation, promising longevity to those who honor their parents. And then he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And then the apostle has some pretty strong words to say to the Colossians. Of course, he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." And then when we go through to the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy, this is what he says in his second letter to Timothy. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Well, see if you can recognize the fact that we are living in what the New Testament calls the last days. Here are some characteristics. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. My, what solemn words from the Bible to our hearts today. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. The first commandment with a promise, the promise of a full, meaningful life, a long life. We've looked at the first half of the Decalogue, commandments 1 to 4, which concentrated on our relationship to God. And now we begin this morning to look at the second half of the Decalogue, verses 5 to 10 of Exodus chapter 20, which deal with our relationship to each other. Listen carefully. If we obey the first half of the Decalogue, the second half will not be difficult. Here in Commandments 6 through 10, we have the divine thinking on human relationships, and preceded by commandment number 5, of course, showing us that God's plan for society, God's plan for the family, God's plan for the community, God's plan for the nations, God's plan for the home, is that children are obedient, that is, respectful to their parents, and that they honor and obey their parents. Thomas Watson, the Puritan of a bygone day, decided there were five categories of parents, or particularly fathers, that we are to honor, respect, and obey. I found this interesting. He speaks first of all of political fathers that we should honor, respect, and obey. And here he's referring to kings, princes, presidents, governors, mayors, national, provincial leaders. In a sense, they are the political fathers of the nation. And then secondly, he hits on what he calls ancient fathers, that is, fathers in the faith, fathers from, for example, Abraham and Moses and Joshua and right through to the apostles and the apostle Paul that we read from just a few moments earlier. Ancient fathers, fathers in biblical history and fathers in our church history. Political fathers, ancient fathers. Then thirdly, he speaks about spiritual fathers, and here would include pastors, ministers, priests, teachers, ministry leaders. And fourthly, he speaks of domestic fathers, employers, people who have people in their household or in their business whom they employ. They should be categorized, he thinks, as domestic fathers, bosses and perhaps teachers as well. And then fifthly, he speaks of natural fathers, that is, parents and grandparents, those who are fathers of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. What an interesting categorization of the question of fathers, political fathers, ancient fathers, spiritual fathers, domestic fathers, natural fathers. What an interesting categorization of the word father. Well, friends, it all starts with marriage, parenting, and the family, God's basic building block in society, and the basic building block of the kingdom of God. God's basic unit for mankind, the home, where from generation to generation there is to be respect for and adherence to God's foreordained plan. Each generation beginning and building where the previous one left off. It's an indisputable fact that the blessings, and I'm afraid sadly the sins of one generation, will impact the next. What a blessing to see, as I have seen through my 50, 60 years of ministry and preaching, to see so often from generation to generation children following their parents in ministry or in mission. What an amazing thing to see, for example, in our little church family, somebody who is closely associated with our fellowship, and you can go down three generations of people who are serving the Lord in terms of grandparents, children, and parents and grandchildren, generation after generation serving the next, one generation impacting the generations to come. We're living in the last days that Paul wrote about to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. Also Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, we see the same issues being mentioned in that huge list of sins, a revelation, a manifestation of man's depravity. Dr. James Kennedy once said, and I quote, "Children who have not learned respect and honor in the home will not respect authority, and children who have no respect for authority will ultimately bring the entire nation to ruin." Well, without a doubt, from the time of Adam and Eve and their son Cain, who murdered his brother Abel, we need a commandment that addresses the issue of the parent-child relationship, gives us a clear guideline as to how to behave. For no nation, no community, no church can rise higher than its homes and families. In fact, no nation can survive unless it gives attention to the principles of effective and successful family living. If we don't have a firm hand on the helm of the home, we will be forced by the storm onto the rocks. Heed the helm, or heed the rocks. Shipwreck the family, and you ultimately will shipwreck society. We're seeing evidence of that every day in the news. Our prison cells here in South Africa, and probably it's the same around the world, our prison cells sadly are filled with the results of shipwrecked families, where there has been total failure in parental control and in children obeying their parents. Now, the fifth commandment doesn't must be detached from the first four. Man's relationship with man is dependent on his relationship with God. The implication, and we're in transition from commandments 1-4 to the fifth commandment, the implication here is that the parent, in a sense, is in the place of God to the child as the child grows up. The New Testament develops this by stating in Ephesians 6:1, as we read earlier, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, godly parents are to represent God to their children. It is God ordained. In the early days of childhood development, the human father is to be like our heavenly father to the child. It's a unique relationship, different to all other human relationships. Together, father and mother will form in the mind of the child their earliest understanding of what God is like. What God is to the adult, the parent must be to the child: lover, lawgiver, provider, protector, trainer, teacher, coach. The child's response in the parent-child relationship will lay the foundation of how that child will conceive of God and relate to him at an age of understanding, and relate to others. As one writer put it, and I quote, "The parents are the skylight through which the child gets his first glimpse of God." I like that. I'm going to repeat it. The parents are the skylight through which the child gets his first glimpse of God. And it has to be said that the child will pick up the atmosphere, the attitudes, the body language, the tone of the parents before rather than their sayings. The actions of the parents, the atmosphere in which the child is raised, will speak much louder than the words of the parents. The child is like a subconscious mind. It learns by what it sees. It learns by parents' actions more than their words, more than by what they hear. And so what an awesome responsibility we have as parents to ensure that we have earned the right to be honored and obeyed, respected and imitated by our children. We need to do more than instruct, because unless we instruct in the atmosphere of genuine love and care, then our children are not likely to respond too well. As someone put it, there are no delinquent children, only delinquent parents. No child is born delinquent. It's a learned behavior. Too often these days, a default behavior, because parents have abdicated their role. The proverb says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and the way she should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Only if we do our part as trainers and coaches can we claim the promised reward. Too many parents wake up to the reality that they have missed the boat, missed the formative years when their children were so pliable, and those years go by so quickly, don't they? Honor your father and your mother. The word honor means attach weight to, put in the place of high importance, reverence, respect. In childhood, this involves obedience. In adulthood, it means we show our parents courtesy, kindness, and respect. And for some, it may mean taking personal care of aging parents, helping them to maintain a level of self-worth and dignity. Those who choose to seldom, if ever, visit their aging parents or aged parents are breaking the fifth commandment. This is the commandment that has a promise attached to it. The second half of the commandment brings with it this promise of longevity, the promise of a long life. You see, honoring our parents ought to develop in us certain qualities of character and behavior that will contribute to the lengthening of our own lives. A healthy mind, a healthy body, healthy habits, a healthy soul. These are the things we should learn and take on board from our parents. Living cleanly, living respectfully, honestly, living intentionally, living compassionately. These things will usually result in living out our 80 years and 10 and even more. Whereas living in reckless abandon, insubordination, rebellion and disrespect is likely to shorten life. You've seen that, I'm sure, as much as I have over the last decades. One Bible commentator says, and I quote, "The last six commandments are all related and included in the fifth. Honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother." Children who truly honor their parents will be slow to get involved in the sixth commandment, breaking the sixth commandment regarding murder, breaking the seventh commandment regarding sexual impurity, the eighth commandment involving theft, the ninth commandment, slander, the tenth commandment, covetousness. Do you see how this works? There is a wonderful progression here in the Decalogue. The last six commandments are all related and included in the fifth. If parents do a good job in raising their children in the way of the Lord, and children follow their parents in humble and respectful obedience, they're very unlikely when they grow up to break the other commandments that follow. And so here in the fifth commandment, as is with all the commandments, Jesus is our perfect example. As a child, he was obedient and respectful to his parents. Jesus' relationship with Joseph and Mary was one in which he fulfilled the fifth commandment. And as an adult, we find him obeying not only his earthly parents, but obeying his heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus lived in such a close relationship with his Father in heaven that he only spoke and did that which the Father told him to speak and to do. Unlike Old Testament law, the penalty for not honoring and obeying one's parents was very severe, under the Old Testament law, rather. As we see as we look at these verses, how seriously God took the fifth commandment. Those who disobeyed that commandment were to be put to death. And so in Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17, we read those very severe words. If you'd like to turn with it, I'm turning to it in my Bible, in Exodus chapter 21, verses 15 and 17. "Anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. Anyone who kidnaps another and either sells him or still has him when he is caught must be put to death. Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." The same commandment is repeated in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9. And then when we come through to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 18 to 20, we read, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is profligate and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid." My, what severe words were given to Moses to pass on to the people of God. So, as parents who follow Jesus and seek to do our best in raising our children, we cling on to that promise in Proverbs, "Train up a child in the way in which he or she should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it." Friends, if parents were worthy of honor and commanded the respect of their children would show honor and respect in society. Crime and violence are out of control in parts of our world. They're almost out of control in parts of our country in South Africa. But the problem begins in the deficiency of parents. The juvenile sections of our prisons are overcrowded with young people who have never had a true father figure in their lives. never had a Christian father and mother who stuck together through thick and thin, who provided the atmosphere, the attitudes, the actions and the words in which their children could thrive and become respectful, decent citizens. So many children in our nation have grown up without the boundaries set by loving discipline and a father's example of respect, and so life has little value, honor, dignity, integrity, respect, are almost absent in many a home. And the children have never been shown how awesome and how attractive holiness is. Some of you will remember and may have enjoyed Grimm's fairy tales. Do you remember this story? Once there was an old man whose eyes blinked continually and whose hands trembled uncontrollably. As he had no place to live, he moved in with his son's family. His daughter-in-law hated it. When at the dinner table he constantly rattled his silverware and spilled his drinks, in anger and exasperation, she insisted he eat his meals alone in the corner, separated from the rest of the family. He began to eat alone, looking occasionally at the family sitting at the table. Then one day, when his hands were shaking so much that he knocked his bowl onto the floor, his meal spilled onto the carpet. The daughter-in-law screamed, "If you're going to eat like a pig, we'll feed you like a pig." She placed a wooden trough on the floor and told him that he would have to eat out of the trough like an animal. This he did. Some days later, the woman's young son came into the house, excited to show her something he had made. "Look, Mummy, I've made a trough to feed you and Daddy out of when I get big." The woman began to cry when she realized what a terrible evil she was guilty of. From that day forward, the old man ate his meals at the table with the rest of the family, and the daughter did everything she could to make up for the cruel way she had treated her father-in-law. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment, with a good promise that you will live long and well. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these commandments that are as relevant, as pertinent, as powerful, as challenging as when they were first given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And we thank you, Lord, for the fifth commandment. And we thank you that with whatever life is left to us, whatever stage of life we are, whether we're parents or grandparents or not even parents at all, our Father, we pray that you would help us to be more and more like Jesus. Thank you that all these commandments are summed up and fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you for the example of Jesus as he grew up in a godly home and learned to respect and honor his parents. And we thank you, dear Lord, for the way in which we can look to Jesus today as our example in the way in which he honored and obeyed his heavenly Father and simply moved in terms of his Father's will and good pleasure. And so help us in whatever stage of life we are to obey this fifth commandment, and help us to obey all the commandments. And we thank you once again that all the commandments are summed up in two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you will fulfill all the commands. Now once again, dear Lord, we recognize we cannot do this in our own strength. But thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that as we repent of our sins, place our trust in Jesus, we're not only cleansed through his precious blood shed on the cross, forgiven and set free, but we are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that we do not live according to the dictates of our old fallen nature, but that we can live according to the power and dictates of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we pray, Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit of Jesus. May we keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. May Jesus have the supremacy in our lives and be glorified. And so we praise you, our Father, that you give to us all that we need to be all that you want us to be. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
By this